Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and I'm pleased to note that we seem to be well ahead of schedule. Mr. Chairman, I wish to speak on Cluster 3 specific issues, peaceful uses and other provisions of the treaty, and also interact with a number of arguments that were raised during the discussions. Namely, I intend to express my delegation's views on the cross-cutting issues related to achieving the universality of the treaty, holding nuclear weapon states accountable for their obligations and commitments, and strengthening the review process. At the outset, Egypt fully associates itself with the statement delivered by Indonesia on behalf of the non-aligned movement at the beginning of this meeting and wishes to make the following additional remarks. On the topic of universality, achieving universality of the NPT has always been an agreed priority throughout the outcomes of the review process and an important element of the indefinite extension package. Nevertheless, the review conference has regrettably failed to translate this commitment into actionable and effective measures. In addition to the necessary call on India, Israel, and Pakistan to accede to the NPT as non-nuclear weapon states without further delay or preconditions, and to subject their nuclear facilities to full-scope IAEA safeguards, the outcome of this review cycle must include further action-oriented measures. Regrettably, the actions taken by some nuclear weapon states and nuclear suppliers over the past two decades have been leading to the exact opposite direction by providing unprecedented exemptions to nuclear cooperation with states that have not acceded to the NPT and continue to conduct nuclear activities without implementing comprehensive safeguards agreement, in a clear violation of the agreed outcome of the 1995 Review and Extension Conference. Moreover, and to add salt to injury, some states have started to impose restrictions that go beyond the requirements of the NPT, such as the voluntary additional protocol, as a condition for nuclear supply or cooperation with non-nuclear weapon states that are in full compliance with their NPT obligations. The net impact, Mr. Chairman, of these counterproductive and short-sighted practices is to simply undermine the relevance and benefits of the NPT and to make its grand bargain further imbalanced. The effectiveness and sustainability of any regime depends on its fairness and the balance that it achieves between the rights and obligations that it incorporates. The NPT was inherently tainted with an obvious discriminatory aspect, but that was supposed to be a temporary arrangement. While the indefinite extension package was based on commitments to rectify this situation, the relevant commitments continue to be totally ignored and reversed. In the outcome of this review cycle, in addition to the calls for achieving the universality and the calls on India, Israel, and Pakistan to accede to the treaty, there must be a clear prohibition of nuclear cooperation with states that have not yet acceded to the treaty and a reaffirmation of the explicit acknowledgement of the application of comprehensive safeguards agreements as the only safeguards-related condition for any nuclear supply or cooperation. This would be a practical step in the right direction to rectify the flagrantly imbalanced situation that we witness today. Misleading and controversial terms such as the highest standards of safeguards simply undermine the agreed standard under the treaty and leave its implementation at the mercy of subjective individual interpretations. On the topic of withdrawal and Article 10, Mr. Chairman, having listened to a number of arguments on Article 10, I wish to reiterate that Article 10 represents an integral, undisputed element of the grand bargain of the treaty and the delicate balance of the rights and obligations enshrined therein. The proposals put forward by some nuclear weapon states and states that participate in extended nuclear deterrence arrangements that introduce vague restrictions on the rights envisaged under this article are neither convincing nor acceptable. Turning to the topic of accountability and the strengthened review process, Mr. Chairman, we have repeatedly underscored that the deficiencies of the NPT review process and the inability of some sessions of the review conference to reach an outcome cannot be attributed to the shortcomings in the review process itself. In fact, the decisions on the strengthened review process in the years 1995 and 2000 remain fundamental milestones and achievements that must be preserved. That deficit in accountability, effectiveness, transparency, and efficiency of the review process can be mainly attributed to the lack of implementation of obligations and commitments, particularly in relation to the nuclear disarmament and the 1995 resolution on the Middle East. There is no doubt that we would not have witnessed those disappointing failures if the nuclear weapon states had implemented their obligations and undertakings in the same manner that the vast majority of non-nuclear weapon states have. Egypt has tabled a working paper in 2023 that focuses on three practical and specific proposals on enhancing the review process through practical measures to improve the implementation of the 1995 and 2000 decisions on strengthening the review process and adding detailed guidance in this regard. These practical proposals do not require any reopening of the relevant decisions or the rules of procedure. The proposals we introduced in the working paper remain valid, and we encourage states' parties to constructively engage with them. The most central and crucial among them relates to strengthening and enhancing the effectiveness, efficiency, continuity, transparency, and accountability of the review process through a standardized template for national reports on the implementation of disarmament obligations by nuclear weapon states. Each nuclear weapon state should submit at least two reports to each review cycle based on a standardized template that includes clear benchmarks and timeframes for the implementation of their agreed nuclear disarmament obligations and commitments, not reports on how transparent they are on being committed to their indefinite reliance on nuclear deterrence. Pending the commitment of all five nuclear weapon states to this practice, we call on those nuclear weapon states in a position to do so to lead by example and subject their latest implementation report to an interactive discussion and review at the formal meetings of the next sessions of the PrepCom and the review conference. And we welcome some of the ideas put forward by New Zealand in its statement today. My delegation intends to address this issue at further detail and clarify its recommendations on further strengthening the review process in further detail during the meeting dedicated to this topic tomorrow morning. Thank you, Chair.